This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. Here we are again on the Escape Hour, Joy 94.9 food and travel show. And what a gorgeous day it is. Can you believe it's the first day of spring? It's just gorgeous outside. Spring Racing Carnival started yesterday and we are so lucky to be living in this fabulous town of ours. My name's Russ Masterton. This week I have the gorgeous and the fabulous Stefan. He's panelling and interviewing today. Stefan, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And you?
I'm well indeed, well indeed. Good. Fiona Brooks off sick and Mark Adams is God knows where.
Lost in action.
I hope he's having a fabulous time wherever he is. So, yes, what do you think of this amazing spring day we're having today?
It's beautiful. I think it's the best so
it
far.
Is.
Although, is it really spring? It's not the 21st yet, you know.
It doesn't get nice in Melbourne until, well, you know, November.
January
is pretty good. Today's show is going to be all about Hong Kong, we've got our chef Donovan Cook with us today. How are you, Donovan? It's great to have you on our show.
Great to be here.
Your background is obviously you're a fantastic chef, and you've spent nearly 7 years working in Hong Kong in a previous life.
Yeah.
But you're back in Melbourne. What are you doing back here, and what's happening in the Donovan Cook world? You've got some exciting new news happening.
Yeah, I opened a restaurant in October last year called Rhine in North Fitzroy. It's a 60-seater restaurant, and basically I change the menu every couple of weeks and tailor-make the menu when people ring me up and ask for specialist dishes. I've got a table actually coming in tonight from Hong Kong. They turned up yesterday, a day early, and I didn't have all the stuff, so they're coming in tonight for a 9-course menu. I sent them away.
So what's really interesting about what we were talking during the break is that you do tailor-make foods. Yeah, you have a menu that's set and...
I have a set menu, which I also change every couple of weeks, but say, for instance, if you... want marron, you can pre-order the marron, and the surprise is you don't know how you're going to get the marron. I change the marron dish every week as well. So for instance, on Father's Day, which is tomorrow, somebody rang me up and said they wanted to have pheasant with truffles, I want marron with truffles, I want lamb, they want pig's trotters, and they want sweetbreads. So I just tailor-make a menu for them for Father's Day, and same for tonight. I've got 5 different tailor-made menus for people.
I think we need to go down there,
well,
Stefan.
I think so, yes.
Now, Stefan did ask earlier on what's a marron, so
yes. It's not a moron, it's a marron.
We're a couple of morons on here today, aren't we?
Sorry about that.
So, just to clear it, it's not a moron, it's a marron, and it's a freshwater crayfish, and it's only available from WA. I get them twice a week flown in.
So what's special about that fish?
It's a crayfish. It's as close to a lobster as you're probably going to get over here, and as I say, because you can only get them from WA, they're highly sought of. The texture's amazing, flavour's really, really sweet, and very versatile protein. You can do all sorts of stuff with it.
When did this love for food start for you?
Basically when my parents divorced and I had to cook, because my mother, bless her, she's dead now, she was a terrible cook. I still got horror stories to tell you about. Every Wednesday was liver night, and it was pig's liver or cow's liver baked in the oven with spuds and onions and Bisto Gravox. And she'd put it all in raw, so the liver had come out when the spuds were cooked, so imagine the texture of liver. And I never ate liver again until I started working in a 3-star Michelin, and I realised that you only see the liver rare. And it's totally different to this Birkenstock sole that I used to eat. Back in the day, you know.
Your mum did her best, though.
She tried her hardest. But she had another dish which was cod, same way. Instead of gravy, it was with milk, and that was cooked until the spuds were cooked. So imagine what the cod was like.
Were you interested in her cooking style and technique back then, or did you just shut up and eat?
Back in the day, in Hull, when I was growing up, you had to eat everything. Couldn't leave anything, or you did without, or you got probably beaten up. So, I didn't really start getting into cooking until I was about 9, when my father, he's telling me how to cook. I used to watch cooking shows on telly and read backs of packets and stuff like that, and then figured out. And then I started cooking when I got kicked out of school at 15.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good-o. So, for those who are listening, you've got an accent.
Yes, just a slight one.
That you've never been able to get rid of.
Well, my old man reckons I've got an Australian accent, so I actually come from Hull in the north of England.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's a great accent. I love it.
So why Melbourne?
Why Melbourne? Probably because I was led to believe that it was always going to be sunny here. From home and away and Neighbours, it was always glorious sunshine there. And then when I arrived here, it was quite the opposite. As you said today, welcome to spring. It's freezing, isn't it?
It is absolutely freezing. But
can you see those lambs bouncing around full of the joys of spring? Nah, it's freezing.
So is that really what the people in the UK think of Melbourne? It's home and away and Neighbours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, have we got a surprise for them? Yeah. So you're famous for then is these tailor-made menus and what you can do for food. So people from all over the world do ring you and come to Melbourne and say, right, you know, we're on our way, this is what we want, and you order in and make these fancy dishes.
Yeah, basically when I was at the Jockey Club, it's a private members club, and I had quite a large following, and what they do when they come to visit now, they just come to eat. So a couple of my close friends came over when we opened the restaurant, and they came in three nights and had three different eight-course tasting menu. Every night had to be different, so, yeah.
And so what, the people that are coming to see you for Father's Day tomorrow, they're just locals from Melbourne?
Yeah, locals from Melbourne. And as again, it's as I say on my website, it clearly states if you want to pre-order things like pheasant, marrons, pig's trotters, partridge, pigeon, all those sort of things, you can do. The reason why I don't put them on the menu is these are quite high-end cost products.
Right.
So if I have a menu full of $50 entrees, $60, $70 mains, then it's going to scare everybody away. I'd rather have a menu which is entrees start around the early 20s and the main courses around the mid 30s.
Yes.
Then it's accessible for everybody. But if you know you want to come in for a marron, now you know what a marron is.
Yes.
You know it's not going to cost $3 to put on the plate. They cost like $70 a kilo. So.
Right. Okay, and what's your favourite dish that you make then, that you like the most?
Obviously, because I change a lot, it changes, but my favourite dish of all time to eat is a pigeon breast with foie gras truffles wrapped in cabbage and then steamed and served with Joel Robuchon's mashed potato, which is 500 grams butter, 500 gram potato. The arteries start clogging up straight away.
Just so even before eating it, just what, looking at it.
So you've got to drink quite a large amount of red wine to cut that cholesterol.
And I'm just interested, where did you learn to cook all of these exotic dishes? I mean, pheasant and pig trotters, you just don't see them on everyday menus. So.
No, I think, I mean, I've been cooking for 35 years, and when I worked in Europe, I worked for very, very talented chefs like Michel Roux from the Waterside Inn and Marco Pierre White. And we use these products every day. And we learn a respect for these products because it's not not just an expensive product, but you have to treat it with respect because, you know, how can you turn a pig's foot into something that you can charge $70 for?
Right.
Because you bone them out, you got to braise them, you got to stuff them, and you don't just stuff them with X, Y, and Z. You use veal sweetbreads and use morels, and it's a lot of craft, a lot of technique, and a lot of skill actually goes into making something that normally you just bin.
So you must feel as though that you've just had a bit of a charmed life as far as the chef goes, because that's, you know, the places you've worked, the people you've met, and the dishes that you can now create. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a charmed life, but in them days, you know, there was 100-hour weeks for that charmed life.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
And they paid you not very much money, but what you got paid in, and I'm a firm believer in it, I was a head chef at 23 years of age of a 3-star Michelin.
Wow.
I didn't get that by doing 38 hours a week.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to endorse that you need to work your staff 100 hours, but I got paid in knowledge. So by the age of 25, I own my own restaurant.
Wow.
So you have to put in to get out. I'm a firm believer in that.
And that's everyone's success story in business anyway. Yeah. I know I've got a travel agency and it's not a 38-hour week. It's not, you know, you have staff to look after and you've got pride in your work and customers that are very, very important to you.
Of course.
You work the hours because you love it, don't you?
As I said to anybody who asked me about cooking, you can't say being a chef is a job, because while you're having a good time at Christmas, I'll be at the eight ball in a nice cold kitchen, sweating my balls off in a 40-degree day, dreaming of beer. But the thing is...
You love your beer, don't you, Donovan?
Of course, I'm a Yorkshire man. But, it's a sacrifice you make to make people happy, and that's the end of the day. The customer is what we do it all for, and to try and... challenge myself is actually good for the customer, because if you have a marron today in my restaurant, you'll have it with truffles. If you came last week, you'd be having it with rosemary, blood orange and fennel.
Right.
So every time you come, even though you say you want a marron, it'll be different. You never have the same thing twice.
And how do you find the produce and veggies here in Australia? So is it, if you've done all your training in places like Europe and Hong Kong, are we up to scratch with, or you just change the menu accordingly?
Here you have to change the menu accordingly because it's very season driven. You don't get anything like Hong Kong is, it's middle of the world. I was once given the earache by Pete Dillon on this radio show about my carbon footprint because I had summer vegetables from Provence and winter vegetables from Australia, and I had meat from all around the world because it had to be the best quality. It didn't matter where it came from, because everywhere is 9 hours away from Hong Kong.
And that would be the great thing about working there.
Oh, yeah, and I had no budget or food costs there because, the members...
Of the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
Yeah, of course. So I used to do things with... I used to use maybe 100, 120 kilo of black truffles a year, 30, 40 kilo of white truffle, and wouldn't shave like... truffle. It'd be like truffle. So yeah, it was good.
Are you happy with the creation you've got now in Fitzroy?
I love it. I mean, the thing is it's very people friendly and it's not formal. It's a relaxed environment where I focus on doing good food in a relaxed kind of environment.
I think the whole tailor-made thing sounds great to me. I've got to get myself down there.
Sounds like a great.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're on the Escape Hour with Russ and Stefan and Donovan Cook, our guest today from the restaurant Rhine in Fitzroy.
So this is time for our a Hong Kong portion of the show. So you lived in Hong Kong for 6.5 years. And
6 years, 11 months to be precise.
And there's a story behind that. What did you miss out on?
My Hong Kong residency by 1 month. So, yeah, it's a nightmare every time I go there now because obviously visas and stuff. Otherwise, if I'd have stayed an extra month, there'd be no hassle to buy houses and stuff over there now. It's a different world.
Right. But you've got a child who's got a Hong Kong passport, right?
I have to apply for the passport, but Alfred, he has Hong Kong, Australian and British. So, he's pretty gifted.
Wow, lucky man. Yeah. When you're travelling these days, if you're a dual passport holder, you're laughing.
Well, he reckons Hong Kong's his town anyway because he was born there, so... all the best toy shops are there, so I spend most of my time in there. While the wife's shopping for clothes, shopping for toys.
How did you end up in Hong Kong?
I got an offer I couldn't really refuse. I closed my last restaurant in Melbourne at the time called Ondine, and I was looking for work, and I got a phone call, and they asked me if I wanted to work for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. So I thought, why not? And who'd turn down a job where there's no food cost or budget and they pay you large amounts of money?
Because this place is as exclusive as it gets in Hong Kong, isn't it?
Yes, it's the most exclusive club in the world, really. You're nominated to be a member and then it costs you $1 million to be a member, and then you've got to go from the nomination all the way up to the top to the chairman until you're approved. And then, there's 10,000 members only.
Oh, God, that's amazing. And Happy Valley is, you said before, is just a bizarre place. You know, that you've got your buildings surrounding the whole place and here's this racetrack in the middle of concrete city, right?
Exactly. I wouldn't wonder how much that actually would cost for the real estate. If they decided to flog it, how much money they get for that? Because it's 3 kilometres in the middle of the CBD with a race course in there. And one meet there generates... So 11 races there generates the same amount of money that the Spring Racing Carnival does.
Oh, for our whole season?
Yes.
Wow, that is incredible. So the Chinese are gamblers, obviously.
Yeah, they're mad for a gamble.
Yeah, they are. And so that and the other racetrack was in Tianjin?
Sha Tin, yeah.
Sha Tin, excuse me. Yes,
so the story behind that one, that was actually built from the tops of mountains, which filled in the sea, and then they put a race course in the middle where the sea used to be.
All right.
And it's got the largest screen TV in the world. It's like the whole home straight long.
What was it like cooking in a place where there was no budget? That you just sort of turned up and people would ring you and say, I want this, and it was your job to make it.
Oh, yeah. There's one guest, Mr. Zhao, he always wants 12 courses, but he never wants the same 12 courses. And he said to me he wanted a white truffle dinner, so he wanted 12 courses with white truffle. And rather than asking me what was I doing, he said, what do you think is the right amount of truffle per person? So I said, oh, probably about 300 grams of white truffle each. So he goes, okay, I'll have 300 grams of white truffle. So I shaved truffle like there was no tomorrow on all 12 dishes. I did like one dish I did was a Chateau Yquem and peach sorbet with shaved white truffle. That was his dessert. So the Chateau Yquem on its own is like the most expensive dessert wine in the world, with gold leaf and shaved white truffle. So yeah, it's pretty.
That is amazing.
Cool.
Wouldn't it be nice to have that amount of money?
Yeah. I mean,
did you feel like you were mixing with the rich and the famous? And
yeah. I wouldn't mind a third of some of the money they have, but they're really nice people. Seriously, they're all self-made people, and they're highly educated in food and travel, and they go all over the world. This generation of the Hong Kong people, they've all been educated overseas, so they're massive about food and wine. So yeah,
and that really is the big thing about Hong Kong. I know we've Hong Kong's been an it place for since dot as far as travel goes, and the real reason that people go there, as we've discussed, is for food and shopping.
Food, shopping, and the thing is as well, it's like never stop city. You know, it's like I used to finish work and then I'd pick my wife up after she finished singing, and I could get amazing yakitori in Happy Valley until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and that's really...
And it's full, because people finish work late and eat late, and because the kitchens and that in apartments are minuscule.
That's what I find really interesting. I had a friend who lived in Hong Kong, and I can remember going to his place and thinking, oh, my God, you live in this shoebox. But that's when you were talking about that before. I totally understand why people don't stay at home and eat.
They just sleep there. That's it. They get changed, sleep, and then go to work. Yeah. And until, I think, last year, everybody works a six-day week there.
Right.
Now it's 5.5.
Yeah. They're cutting back on the 100-hour weeks, aren't they?
Yeah, so one week you do 6 days, next week you do 5 days.
Right. What was the most extravagant dish you made at Happy Valley?
I think it was... I actually did it when I was on Master. They came to MasterChef, came to Hong Kong for the first season.
Oh, did it? Okay.
And it was breast pigeon stuffed with truffle and foie gras. And, I made the sauce with 100-year-old Madeira, and there was 20 grams of truffle in the sauce and 20 grams under the breast, and, yeah, it was pretty full on. No expense spared, and I was chopping up whole pigeons to make the sauce with, so.
Really?
Yeah.
And how do you design this type of food?
As I said to you before, I've been cooking for 35 years, and you're doing your apprentice every day of your life. You're doing apprenticeship, so just to see an ingredient, they'll spark something as a combination to do something different with that ingredient.
Yeah.
And again, there's nothing better than seeing the spring when it finally gets here. If you have a look at menus in the next 3 to 4 weeks, everything will have asparagus on it, because the asparagus is in season. Where, as I said to you before, there was no season in Hong Kong. I had German white asparagus on the menu when it was in season, or I'd have asparagus from Australia when that was in season.
Right.
So there was no season there.
And whereabouts did you live while you were there?
Happy Valley.
Okay. Happy Valley, like getting around Hong Kong is easy as, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's good public transport. The taxis are there everywhere. If you've ever seen a double-decker bus in Happy Valley going up to the peak, you drive there on the top deck with your eyes closed, because they're slinging these buses around roads which are winding. There's like sheer drops through cliffs to your doom and death, but yeah, the tunnel.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. Good
and you said your wife's a singer, so...
I am. My wife was a singer before she came over here. Yeah, I met her actually singing in Hong Kong.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Jazz singer.
Oh, good. God, that'd be great.
And professional shopper.
And we've heard about that. You go and find a pub and you send her off shopping, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Basically, we go to somewhere to shop, somewhere near a pub, and I just sit there and drink while she shops, and then she texts me when it's ready to carry all the shopping.
And you pay for it all, right?
Yeah, well, normally we turn up with, like, three suitcases empty, or full, because we take gifts over to our friends in Hong Kong, and then they're empty, and then they come back full. And last time we went there, I had to send 120 kilo by mail.
What did you buy?
I didn't buy anything. What did she buy?
So you said you stop off at the pub and drink. So where would you drink in Hong Kong? What kind of pub?
Well, I definitely wouldn't be drinking in Wan Chai, if anybody's heard of Wan Chai. Yep. That's kind of the red light district.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That's definitely a no-go area for me. So wherever, there's good pubs everywhere.
Yeah.
Good pubs. The pubs are kind of all British themed there, so they all sell good quality beer.
Oh, cool. And if you were going to Hong Kong, when would be the best time to go as far as you're concerned?
It all depends. If you like 38 degrees and 100% humidity, you go June, July, August. September is the start of autumn, so it gets down to about early 30s, and the humidity is a bit less. Spring is torrential downpour and typhoons. So winter's quite cold, but not really cold. You still walk around in a short sleeve shirt.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So really, any
summer's time. Stifling.
Really, any time but summer. I know. I just got back from South Korea during their summer, and I like heat. But this 38 degrees and 100% humidity is a killer, isn't it?
Yeah. And also no blue skies because of the pollution. So it's all...
Stop making Hong Kong so attractive.
Joy 94.9 has a huge range of programs available for podcast. In fact, Joy is one of the largest podcasting communities on community radio. If you haven't checked out our podcasting service, you're missing out. Visit joy.org.au, click on the podcast tab, and you'll find a list of Joy programs regularly sharing the best interviews, news, and reviews. There's tens of thousands of hours for you to enjoy, so check it out now, joy.org.au.
This is Joy 94.9, the Escape Hour. It's Russ and Stefan holding down the fort today while our other musketeers are out doing what they do. We're here with Donovan Cook today, and we're talking about all things Hong Kong. Donovan, there's a very distinct food scene in Hong Kong, and it's a street scene, or it's very, very fine dining. Yeah.
Well, the thing is you can go anywhere, even late at night, and there's places where you can get bowls of noodles. They specialise in two or three noodle dishes, and that's about it. But if you go to a restaurant, you can go and have chili crab. Like, the restaurants are just specialising in crabs, so you can get mud crabs. Me and my wife went once, and the guy said, "You want it cool, medium, or hot?" And I said, "Of course, hot." And the guy said, "Are you sure?" And we're like, yeah, of course we are. Well, the guy kept looking at us, and me and the wife were actually bright red, sneezing profusely because it was so hot. I think I drank about 14 litres of Tsingtao to try to take the edge off, but no, we couldn't. We'll just take away.
What is the answer with that when you drink? Is it milk?
It's milk or yogurt, but it doesn't work.
It never does it? I hate that. Something spicy, and when it really gets in, it gets in.
Your nose, it's all on.
And you said you went to a nice place for Beijing duck. And
the best Beijing duck is actually in Kowloon side. It's called the Spring Deer, and it's owned by two of the chefs and I think three of the other waiters, and you can hardly get in. It's always fully booked, but don't be thinking the front of house is amazing, because it's a bit of a shithole actually, the restaurant, but it's the best Beijing duck in Hong Kong by a mile.
Really?
Yeah. Amazing.
What would be, as far as Cantonese street food goes, what would be your favourite dish to try?
I always like Wong Tong noodle soup or hot and sour soup, all those sort of things. Of course, you can't get past the barbecue duck, you can't get barbecue pork, but when you see it just hanging outside in a shop...
Yeah.
38 degrees, buses turning past with diesel flying out everywhere. You kind of build an immunity. After a while, your stomach gets used to it. But, a local butcher there will have cats and all that roaming around and live chickens, and you'll pick your chicken, they'll kill the chicken and pluck it for you in the open air.
Yeah.
And next to that, there'll be a Western butcher, which is HACCP certified with, you know. So, yeah.
I was in China once, and we went into a restaurant with all of these animals in cages, and I just thought, oh, that's an interesting ambiance. Wow, look at this.
It's, pick your dog.
It was a bit like that, but I ordered chook, and the next minute, you know, this live chook was brought to the table, its head was chopped off of the table, and it was sent off to be cooked, and yeah, it wasn't very nice. I didn't particularly enjoy the meal at all, but...
You can't get fresher than that.
No, you can't get fresher than that, but it was a very, very... Odd experience.
I mean, there's restaurants in areas of Hong Kong where they have, like, all this fish and seafood in tanks, and basically the same sort of thing. You pick your lobsters, you pick your prawns, and they cook it for you, and they ask you, want it steamed, do you want it wok-fried, do you want it with chilli and garlic, do you want... et cetera, et cetera. And that's amazing. Yep. And the thing is here, we can't import any of that live produce. Say, for instance, in Hong Kong, they import geoduck clams from Canada, which are the clams which are, you know, about this long.
Ah, right.
And amazing big. Things, big.
Yep.
And you can't get them over here unless they're frozen. So why would you get them? But I think we need to open our minds a little bit and get imported produce in, which will then help us develop the cuisine a little bit more.
In Australia, yeah, absolutely. What did you do on your downtime in Hong Kong? It's
on the one day off.
It's a 24-hour city. It's always go, go, go.
The thing for me, on my day off, I don't like to travel too far, so we've got a Stanley, you know, get a minibus to Stanley, walk along the beach there. The wife would go to the market and shop in the market. I'd find the German pub, have a few pints.
Did your kids enjoy, did they live there?
Some of them did, yeah. Help four kids. Some of them lived there for a bit. They like the shopping out as well. They like Disneyland, Ocean Park, all that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, what's interesting about, I guess, Hong Kong these days is there's so much competition on the market as far as airlines go that... At the moment, anywhere between, you know, $600 and $700, you can get a return airfare for, which is incredibly cheap. So there's absolutely
I tell you, I highly recommend it. I try and go back every year. I was over there in August cooking at the Jockey Club. I got flown over there and cooked two lunches, two dinners, and sold out to all the members. But again, just amazing to be there. Just really good food. No, it's a busy, busy city, but there's no real hassle or aggro or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's a safe city too, isn't it?
Yeah, and all the streets are clean. They're all hosed down and power washed every night. And no dog mess or... And you get fined.
Okay.
Fined like $1,500 if your dog poos on the pavement and you don't clean it up. And you get fined for spitting there and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, it sounds a bit like Melbourne, really.
Get fines for spitting.
You don't get fined for spitting, but you know, I've got, you know, I never have enough points for my driver's license. I'm always, you know, I'm always having to borrow off somebody. So. What do you think about the difference between Melbourne and Hong Kong? Obviously, we think we're a 24-hour city, and Melbourne has changed enormously over the past 10 years. And you probably would have noticed that.
Yeah, it's changed massively. Yeah. It's a great city, to live in. I actually love living here more than I did in Hong Kong because I have a house with a backyard and I can have a barbecue rather than a shoebox, which I lived in before, which is, you know... Texted, you know, it's hard when you're all the kids there and you've got like one room with everybody hanging around. But as far as the culture for dining out goes, everybody dines out in Hong Kong because, as I said, the kitchens are tiny. Nobody really cooks at home.
Yeah.
They always eat out, and that's why the price ranges vary for something you can eat every day or something which is high end. I mean, my daughter, she's a sommelier at the restaurant. When she decided she wanted to be a sommelier, she came with me. And that cost me 27,000 Hong Kong, so she could have a tasting menu with matching Grand Cru wines. Just because you have to taste them all before the exam. Bollocks. But anyway.
That must be nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Hong Kong for 25 years. I was telling you.
Well, the airport's different now.
Is it?
The airport before you actually used to come down next to the skyscrapers.
And I was shocked every time I used to do that.
Now it's in the sea.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay, all right. So
reclaimed.
One of the stories my father used to tell me is used to. Because he was serviced over in Hong Kong while he was doing his national service. And he used to go from Kowloon to Hong Kong. It used to take 15 minutes on the ferry.
Yep.
Now it takes 3.
Oh, okay.
Because the building into the sea. And if you ever saw James Bond, I think it was Dr. No, where it was in Hong Kong, he stayed at Peninsula, and it's right on the river. Right on the sea. So now it's a block, block and a half back.
That's not a river.
China took Hong Kong back, and really it's just their big gambling city, isn't it?
That and Macau.
So they, nothing changed?
No. All the international bankers were going to pull out, but it's basically it's one country, three rules.
Yes.
So it's a Chinese country, but it's a different rule to mainland and different rule to Macau.
One of the things that I read up that I really liked about the people in Hong Kong was that they all wear their surgical masks.
So. Oh, yeah, mad for a surgical mask.
I kind of like that whole idea with the, if you're sick and you've got a cold, you put on your surgical mask just to let everybody know that, you know, you don't come too close to me, which is a bit different for me. And I'm a bit of a hard-ass boss because I just want everyone to work for me 24 hours.
Because everything's air-conditioned over there. It's like 38 degrees outside, 100% humidity, and then about 19 degrees in all the shopping centres, and they go for miles, just interconnect.
Wow.
But those surgical masks don't work for very long, probably half an hour, 40 minutes. As soon as they get a little bit moist, that's it.
See, that's the nurse on the show talking. Have you been to Hong Kong, Stefan?
I have been to Hong Kong. I actually taught in Hong Kong.
Did you?
A couple of times, just a short, probably 7 days at Chinese University of Hong Kong. So I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being there. I probably couldn't live there. I think it'd be too much for me, but I enjoyed going for a week. Was really nice, and me, having students, local students, that would take me to local places was really, really nice too.
Did they take you to Wan Chai?
No. Don't think so. I don't think so. Or if they did, I didn't notice.
I've kind of fond memories of Hong Kong with the funicular that goes up to the top of the mountain, which is very beautiful.
I decided to walk there.
Oh, did you?
And
the peak, or?
Yes, I decided to walk all the way up.
And that's the double-decker buses.
Yes.
And
the student kept looking at me like I was completely crazy, and I said, oh, no, I do a lot of walking, it's fine. And it wasn't fine because it's a military training ground as well, the walk up there. So, yes, it was quite hard, especially with the humidity. I made it, and I decided I wasn't going to walk down, so I got the bus down.
You got the bus down, yeah.
I didn't go up on the
double. No, you dug upstairs. It's frightening.
You had no idea how fit you were, though.
Oh, I was,
Accommodation is great in Hong Kong as well. I know, there are hotels, 4-star hotels, that you can get for $50-$60 a night, and then you can go all the way up to, your 5-star exclusives, which are absolutely amazing. Where would you stay if you went to Hong Kong?
Because all my friends live around the Happy Valley area. I normally stay in a 4-star hotel there called Devonshire, which is okay. It's not amazing, but it's close by to everything. If I was to stay anywhere, it's obviously it'd be the Peninsula, because where James Bond stays.
Oh, okay, all right.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9, The Escape Hour. My name's Russ. I'm here with Stefan, and we are here with Donovan Cook, and we're talking all things Hong Kong. We're just about out of time here today, but we do like to mention that if you are travelling to places in the world, like Hong Kong, for example, Hong Kong really came into its own with... gay and lesbian GLBTI rights in the 90s, and there are obviously gay bars and saunas and places to hang out and enjoy yourselves. So you're very welcome to hang out in those places in Hong Kong and enjoy yourselves.
It's quite safe, I think, Russ.
It is very safe, yes.
I think they recommend that if you want to use those social dating apps like, Grindr and all those things, you use a VPN because of China. It's probably best to use a VPN even in Hong Kong.
Yes.
But, for your
same-sex marriage is not legal in Hong Kong yet, but give them time. They're a very progressive place. If the big people in Beijing will let them do it, I'm sure they'll get around to it.
Yeah, not sure about that, because they've asked all airlines to refer to Macau and Hong Kong as China and not as independent territory anymore. So they seem to be, yeah. And they actually blackmail the airline, say, if you want to keep your rights to fly to Hong Kong.
Well, I do remember going to some gay bars in the 90s, and we had a fabulous night. It was too good to be true.
We've got a question for our guest.
Good. This is our weekly survey that
poll.
We go off with, and it's very important.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Do you roll or do you fold? So we're talking about clothes.
Roll what?
Clothes, when you travel.
I don't actually do it either. My wife folds.
Oh, she doesn't do any packing.
Oh, your wife folds. She's a folder.
Of course.
Okay. You are a lucky man. You've got someone to look after you.
I have no idea what's in the case or what's coming back. Normally not too much going, but always a lot coming back.
That is absolutely fantastic. So you highly recommend a trip to Hong Kong for shopping and food?
I love Hong Kong. It's an amazing place, and I try and go there once a year.
Yep.
If I don't, I start to miss it a lot.
Okay. And if it's someone's first time in Hong Kong, where would they base?
I think the best place to be is around the central area. You can go to Causeway Bay. You can go very quickly from Causeway Bay. You can go over to Kowloon side. Kowloon is very, very similar sort of thing to Hong Kong. If you're going to go shop, if you go across to Kowloon and the further out you go, it's cheaper.
Mm. Okay.
Because they don't have as big as rent as what Hong Kong does.
Right, so you want to go out there to find
Kowloon side's cheaper, yeah.
To find some bargains. We are out of time. We wish you well with Ryan Donovan Cook. And
Thank you very much.
If you're looking for a fabulous meal in Fitzroy, your restaurant is the place to go to. This is The Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. Stefan, thank you for a fantastic show.
Thank you.
Your panelling is extraordinary.
Oh, thank you.
We'll be back next week with Fiona and Mark and the rest of the team. See you then.
See you then.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.